everyone, and welcome to edition 159 of the NRF1 podcast, your Formula One podcast, straight out of Norfolk, UK. Check it on Google Maps. We're also on Future Radio in Norwich and brought to you by our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. Sign up to the game by visiting nrf1.uk or gpro.net/nrf1. That's going to be my summer sorted. Looking forward to that. Once the football finishes, I am sports journalist and sometime F1 correspondent Michael Bailey, and we are here at Archant Towers in Norwich to review the Russian Grand Prix in Sochi. No overtakes, but honestly, there is lots to talk about. Our Of the Weekend awards are on their way. We'll also be stopping off down the grid in the NRF1 pit stops. Joining us this week here in Norwich for the pod are Damon Hill fan, thrill seeker and Mustang owner, Richard Baxter.
Good evening. I don't know where the thrill seeker bit came from, but...
Hey, you've got a Mustang. That's enough for me. F1 enthusiast and budding correspondent, Callum Springle.
Hello.
And while F1 hasn't had a female driver in 25 years, six seasons in, we've got our first female panel member. Please welcome Melissa Rowland.
Hello.
That's very exciting. It's so exciting. It was always going to happen. Sorry. Now, we hope everyone's well. Melissa, you're in for the first time.
Yeah.
I've got some quick fire questions so that we can all get to know you. They're perfectly sensible questions. Okay. Favourite ever Formula One driver?
Lewis Hamilton.
Oh, that's not going to go down well with the people who think we are wax lyrical about Lewis Hamilton. Favourite ever team?
Oh, that's a tough one. I'd say it would have been, when they were decent, McLaren, back when Lewis first started.
When they were good.
When they were good.
It did happen. Yeah. Prost or Senna?
Senna. I love Senna.
Heikki Kovalainen or Jarno Trulli?
Heikki.
That's fair enough. They'll get ped points. And I haven't even asked you about Pastor Maldonado. We'll get to that point in a later date. We didn't actually do that with you, did we, Callum, when we first came? All right, Callum, here we go. Favourite ever driver?
Jenson Button.
Oh, yeah, you did get that. Favourite ever team?
I guess favourite ever car would be 99 Jordan. So I guess Jordan.
Oh, beautifully done. Prost or Senna?
Prost.
Oh, you can tell. I love that. Heikki Kovalainen or Jarno Trulli?
In what context do you actually mean?
You can, whatever context you want, you can explain it yourself.
Well, I guess Kovalainen drove for Supernova, so.
Indeed. Both, of course, honorary Norfolkians as well for driving for Caterham. Jarno Trulli produced good wine. He'd probably get my vote, but there we go. Anyway, enough of the shenanigans. Russia. What a race, Rich. Go on.
What a good start and good finish. The middle bit was kind of a bit zone out and a bit processional, shall we say. But
a little bit processional, which did get called by some people. And we'll get stuck into that in a moment, shall we? But let's concentrate on the headline. Valtteri Bottas is now a Grand Prix winner. And yes, Sochi still sucks, but there we go. Valtteri Bottas.
Brilliant. Really, really good drive. I mean, straight from the line. He was third on the grid and he took the lead and he stayed there, basically. I'll tell you what, that's what Murray Walker said about Damon Hill in 1996 at Japan.
What was that? So, exactly those words?
he said started second on the grid. He took the lead, he stayed there, and Damon Hill exits the chicane and wins the Japanese Grand Prix. And I've got to stop because I've got a lump in my throat. I remember quite a bit of that speech. It's a bit bad.
It sounded like you had a lump in your throat yourself there, Richard.
Well, I shouldn't really say, but I've got a bit of a sore throat. So.
Oh, right. Bring us down with your cold. There we go. Callum, I mean, the fact that he got ahead of Lewis Hamilton in qualifying was a key thing, really, wasn't it? It at least allowed him just to aim for the two Ferraris on the front row. And the pressure he came under, Valtteri, at the end of the race, first Grand Prix win is on the horizon. You've got Sebastian Vettel closing on you fast. He did pretty well to another Iceman, in a way, I suppose, not wishing to bundle the two Finnish drivers together.
Yeah, he did quite a good job in qualifying. Quite surprising to see that he was, what, 3 or 4 tenths ahead of Hamilton. So whether or not there was a technical issue there is not particularly clear. But I thought Bottas was deservedly the winner. We've seen before, especially when he was at Williams at times, that he's such a cool customer when he's under pressure. Like, I can remember one race, I think it was 2015 in Bahrain, when Vettel was chasing Bottas again. Bottas forced him into a mistake and ended up easily taking it on that occasion. But as you said, higher stakes this time and, deservedly the winner.
And it tees everything up quite nicely from here, doesn't it, Melissa? Now that, you know, it's not Lewis and Seb, in a way. Valtteri has announced himself almost with pole the other week in Bahrain and now a race win.
Definitely. I think it kind of shows that he can stay calm under pressure. I mean, he did Bahrain wasn't great, we thought that he was going to have it. And if Ferrari got their strategy a bit better, pitted Vettel earlier than they had, I think it would have been a lot closer. And I was thinking to myself, if you had the finger right up your like that, would you bottle it? And he didn't. He did absolutely great. And he's my driver of the day, without question.
And everyone else's driver of the day. Max didn't get it. I mean, phenomenal effort. You know, it's a good driver. Max Verstappen isn't driver of the day.
Well, yeah, I mean, definitely. And to be honest, the weekend could have been a completely finished weekend because Raikkonen was looking to take pole position until the last corner and he messed up. But, I mean, that was seeing Raikkonen as well drive how well he did in qualifying was almost stunning, almost shocking for me because I forgot that he could do that because it's been quite a long time since he's really shown what he can do.
Well, we said before how there's been a complete dearth of Finnish success in F1 recently, even though there's been a Finnish driver in a pretty decent team. And Valtteri then, you know, makes an impact at Mercedes. Maybe that's going to lift Raikkonen's performances himself because the two of them were slightly frosty in the green room. I don't know, maybe they're just Finnish and that's just how it was. What do we make of Lewis then? I'm sure I saw two stories. One saying he had no idea why he had no pace and another saying, I know exactly what's happened and we'll sort it out.
I think that, wasn't it kind of like their reaction as such to, I didn't think Ferrari were going to be as good in quali as they were. And I think that they just tried to overcompensate by probably tweaking with the car maybe a little bit too much. And yeah, he was such a pedestrian in that he was well out of it. And I think he was shocked himself. He didn't realise how far off the pace that he actually was. But I think they just, I mean, he had to manage everything in the car, make sure it didn't overheat, manage his tyre temperatures, everything. It just wasn't quite, it wasn't happening for him whatsoever.
Which is weird, isn't it? Because this is Lewis Hamilton. He would have gone into this season and it was supposed to be all on fire and the main challenger. And just for that weekend, nothing.
Not so special after all.
Said like a true Jensen fan. Smile on your face, Callum, dearie me.
Yeah, I think pedestrian's quite a good word. I think a lot of it was down to qualifying because both he and Bottas had the same problems with temperatures in the race. So obviously with Bottas getting third and such a better launch and the lead as well, meant that he wasn't running behind anyone like Hamilton was. So the temperatures could be a lot more easily managed.
I think as well, Lewis has... It was his Achilles heel last season. His starts were just absolutely... I think it got in his head a little bit that he's just... But yeah, he got a poor start and it just didn't happen for him. But for me, bar none, he's the best driver on the grid. He's just got a... For me...
That's right.
And that's why I love Max, because I see a lot of Max Verstappen in with Lewis Hamilton. I think they're very similar fearless qualities. But yeah, sorry, Team Lewis.
Team Lewis. Oh dear, this podcast is going downhill. Stop it. As I mentioned though, we should be happy that Sebastian Vettel didn't go on to win it because I think it opens up quite a lot going into the next few races now. I think Mercedes had it all to kind of prove going into this race weekend, especially over the fact that Ferrari kind of proved how much quicker they were in qualifying. And I think it was the first Ferrari lockout in qualifying since 2008. 2008, Rich. I mean, we were like 12 then.
Oh, not
you 12, were.
But no, I was 18.
18?
Yeah.
You're almost not an adult.
Yeah, but that was...
That feels like a long time ago, doesn't it?
That's a heck of a long time ago, yeah. I mean, that's probably Massa and Raikkonen then, 2008. I mean, Raikkonen is still there after a comeback, but...
He's never been away.
And yeah, Massa's back at Williams, but that's a long time ago, and it was pleasing to see it. And as the shots in the garage afterwards for the team and all the, you know, the members of the, you know, and the fans and everything, they were going crazy because they were so pleased they'd done it. They kind of obviously had forgotten what it felt like to get a 1-2. But then I'm glad it was a different race winner because there's lots of talk about team orders and, oh yeah, you know, it's going to be Hamilton and Vettel, which one of them. Now you have to, there's always another driver involved, and Bottas has just done that. He's snuck up behind him and caught him with the trousers down, basically.
What a way to put it. And as Ped said, I think the other week, he needed to make the conversation harder for Mercedes to make it clear that there are other drivers involved. Just in that last lap scrap, I guess Felipe Massa kind of got in the way of it all. Now, I hate blue flags, so I don't care if Seb couldn't get past him, but others may disagree and be really annoyed that Felipe wasn't maybe more generous in getting out of the way of Seb. What do you reckon, Callum?
Well, I don't think Vettel would have got past anyway. Because the whole time, he spent the last, five laps fleeting between being within a second and being more than a second behind. So whether he would have had the pace, especially in the dirtier air, to keep it up, I think is questionable at the very least.
Which brings us on to Sochi. Great crowds. All the hotels were full, which, of course, Valtteri Bottas very pragmatically said, well, you need more hotels, which is a fair point. We had not one overtake after lap one in the race. Is that an official, have we officially confirmed that?
I thought it was one after one? Lap one.
I think it was one.
What?
Wehrlein on Ericsson.
Yeah.
No, that sounds right. So that would be the last two classified finishes then. What a wonderful spectacle. I can't even remember the overtake, which is a shame given it was the only one after lap one. Do we care?
No, I loved it. I'm a bit of a strategy geek, so it was good for me. And it was 52 laps and it's not as long as probably some of them. So no, I kind of quite liked it.
Well, no, but it's almost like it's similar to football, isn't it? It's one for the purists. We'd hate gimmicky overtakes.
I think as you're watching the race, to see the cars, especially around turn three, the long left-hander, to see the cars flying around there going flat out is incredible, the amount of grip and the cornering speed they do. If you view the race from that, you know, looking out for those things, it's brilliant. But then if you're watching the race for overtaking, which is what a lot of people watch the race for, that wasn't the one. I don't think the circuit really lends itself to overtaking, though, as well.
If I was going to introduce someone to F1, I wouldn't show them that. I go, yeah, sit down and watch this. No, it wouldn't be the one. Like you say, it was for the purists. It's ones that really kind of like understand and take it for what it is. But it's not too bad. I'll give it a solid 6 out of 10.
Solid 6 out of 10. F off Sochi, I guess is what we should say. I mean, we spoke about it before. Doesn't really lend itself to good races, does it? It's proven now in 3 years.
Yeah, it's just sort of a load of 90 rights, 90 lefts, and one gimmicky impression of turn 8 at Istanbul. So it's not really, as you said, a good track for overtaking. And even on the long straight into, I think it's turn 13, the braking zone's curved, so you can't overtake anyway. So I don't really see the point in it. It's just really poorly designed tracks, again, that come along every few years.
What they need to do, though, if you think about Bahrain, we never really had a great race there until it went to night time. Why don't they just put Sochi at night time? That's the answer.
Well, they were thinking about that, and they've ditched those plans. So obviously they've decided, no, we need to stay in the daylight. I mean, I guess it does lend the question, all of this, how long Sochi needs to remain on the calendar when there's pressure from other tracks to come back, new ones to come on, and obviously the pressure to keep the iconic tracks too. What happened on lap 36? Anyone?
I woke up.
You woke up and overtake. Rich Blue is nice.
A pit stop by Vettel.
It's not one of your predictions, Rich. All good guesses that might have happened. I don't know. Vladimir Putin turned up and took the applause. So he was there to push forward the Russian tourist board in the green room with Sebastian Vettel, Valtteri Bottas and Kimi Raikkonen. I mean, I think it did a good job. I think everyone will now be keen to go to Russia on holiday. Are you, Rich?
It looks really nice, actually, that part of Russia, especially because it's a Black Sea resort, isn't it? So, yeah, it looks nice. I mean, I don't know about going on a holiday. I don't really have that much money at the minute.
It's because you've got a Mustang.
Yeah, that's it. I'm paying for petrol, but...
As should everyone, for every Formula One fan, is exactly the way it should be. Just to plug some things, our new pod routine is going down a storm, and there will be plenty more on its way over the course of the 2017 season. If you want to catch any of our past podcasts and get yourself subscribed to the NRF1 podcast through your player of choice, so the latest editions are delivered straight to your mobile, desktop or tablet, just give nrf1.uk/podsubscribe a look. And you'll be able to find your link there, be it iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Spreaker, Stitcher, Acast, whatever. And I'm busy trying to sort out Podcast Addict as well, hopefully. Also, if you're on iTunes and you enjoy us there and that's where you get your subscription, please give us a rating and a review. That will help us move up the charts, get more visible, because we all like what we do, obviously. Help us along the way. And there may even be some incentives on the way to do that too. But then I probably shouldn't say that, because then you won't do it until the incentives are out. We love you. If you do it, I will duly note it down on paper. Don't worry. Right, after all that, it's time for our Sochi NRF1 pit stops. Let's start at Red Bull, shall we? It was their best ever qualifying in Russia, so said Daniel Ricciardo. Not saying much, was it? Dearie me. I mean, they seemed really off the pace. When do we start to worry about that?
They just went on it full stop at all. I really, really thought that Max was going to get more out of the car, but yeah, that wasn't going to happen, was it? They were just pedestrian as well. I think that Force India are on their ass with regards to the constructors. I think they're off compared to Ferrari and Mercedes.
It's a big shame, isn't it? Because Red Bull are supposed to be involved in this. Even Sebastian Vettel was saying, come on, Red Bull, come join us.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of downforce either, which doesn't really help. And they are going to have a B car from Spain. So if that works and they get a couple of updates from Renault, might bring about a bit more engine parity as well as aerodynamic parity.
When was the last time a car was said to have little or not enough downforce and also Adrian Newey involved in its design? Weird.
Probably a March or a Leighton House. Which, that's how far back.
That is a long way back. Nuts, isn't it? And with Red Bull, as I said, we wanted them to be involved in this. I mean, it would probably be a dream to have three cars involved in this, but you already think there's such a... Even for what they can bring to the party in Spain, everyone else is going to bring upgrades in Spain as well. It's, I hate to be fatalistic in Formula 1, but you do kind of get the impression it might already be too late for them to really, really challenge.
That's what's coming across at the minute, is that, you know, they're going to have to take strides forward and not steps. And the bigger question on the horizon is, if this continues for, you know, a few seasons, what's Verstappen going to think? Is he going to... to Ferrari or Mercedes if they're still, you know, the top ones, because he's capable now of winning world championships,
exactly.
So, and he needs to be in that winning car, and if Red Bull can't provide that to him, then he could do a Vettel.
It's bizarre, isn't it, the way they were so dominant when Seb was there with his finger. I mean, they were absolutely unplayable. They were so good, and I used to actually get bored of seeing Christian Horner on my television screen going, yeah, we're really, really great. But I don't know what's happened. They've just completely lost it, but as the guys say, they'll bring their A game a little bit more to Spain, but then everyone else is going to as well. So
it's hard because it's an engine formula, everyone will say, and they've got a Renault engine, so they haven't got the right engine, I guess. Although, as we're seeing from Ferrari, they've most definitely caught up. You touched on this, Melissa, so let's bring this to you. Force India briefly. Esteban Ocon, he was into Q3 for the first time, and they finished 6th and 7th in the race.
Really happy. I think Massa gave them a little bit of a leg up with that, because he had a flat tyre, I think, and had to go in the pits, and everyone's like, where's Massa gone? Why has he gone in the pit? So I was really pleased with them. They're definitely my team for the race, for sure. They're pink. They're cool. I don't know why everyone's not wearing pink, though. They're all in their old the gear from like last season. I'm like, why is no one in pink? But I love it. I think it's really great. And yeah, they did brilliant. Really pleased.
Probably hard to get fireproof pink materials. I don't know. They both drivers got pink helmets, haven't they? Has that happened?
Yeah.
They're doing a Jensen.
They're doing a Jensen. Are they doing a Jensen, Callum?
Should get that trademarked.
Yeah, someone should, definitely. Renault, briefly, poor Julian Palmer could not get out of Russia quick enough. That was a fundamental nightmare of a weekend.
Oh, what a shame.
Is this the Ipswich related? Ipswich. He's an Ipswich Town fan, which doesn't go down well in Norwich. Yes, he is, Melissa.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I don't like him anymore.
But he did. His dad owned Snetterton, Norfolk Track. He drove me around Snetterton in a Radical back in the day. So we've got a kind of a soft spot. But a bit like what Jolyon probably has for Sochi. We saw the birth of a hashtag, didn't we, Melissa?
Yeah, it was. What was it? It was
hashtag
Face Palmer. That's it. That's the one. Because he, I mean, what an idiot.
I guess it was one of those things that got out of control, didn't it? It was bad and then got worse, and then he crashed, and then they were under pressure. And the poor mechanics, the fact they had to put that car together twice, basically, three times.
It's crazy because he missed a practice session because of his Russian third driver who was getting his drive, which is fair enough. Then the car needed a new engine and everything. It was just crazy. And by the time he got into the race, it was at the back, and first corner, you didn't get very far. I mean, we've got further than Alonso, so there's a positive for him.
we're coming to that, don't worry. Grosjean did drive into him, though.
Grosjean's a nightmare. I thought Grosjean was actually worse than Pastor Maldonado until everyone goes, Pastor Maldonado, but Roman Grosjean is just, doesn't shock me. I feel bad for Jolyon.
First lap, Team Jolyon. First lap nutcase, I think, in the famous Mark Webber words.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those situations which is where you have the concertina effect at the first corner. Everyone's trying to get space. He did have his car, part of the car alongside Grosjean and Palmer, part of his car alongside Palmer. But then it's a right turn. There's other cars on the outside of Jolyon turning in, and he had to turn, or it's like he couldn't just stop. So, I mean, maybe Grosjean went in like a torpedo this time instead of Kvyat.
We might get through this whole podcast without even mentioning Daniel Kvyat, which would be good, but then probably a sad indictment to Nico Hülkenberg. We're starting to see a bit more of him now, aren't we? As the Renault car improves, his positioning is improving, both in qualifying and the race.
Yes, there's a little bit more sort of what we saw when he was at ART in GP2. But I think, just to go back to Palmer quickly, I think a lot of that came about because of his poor pace in qualifying, again, like I said with Hamilton, because Hülkenberg was, in the top 10, top 8. So if Palmer had been actually on the pace and not just a slightly more beige version of Maldonado, then perhaps all sort of crisis could have been averted.
I'm sure his engineers and people were telling him exactly that as well. At Sauber, nothing really to write home about in the race, but they did have their Honda engines for 2018 confirmed.
Yeah.
That's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, that's about as exciting as it gets. They're terrible, aren't they, at the moment? What's going on?
Well, the thing is that really stands out as well is Van Dorn finished ahead of them in the race.
In McLaren, yes, yeah. I was going to say, for how bad McLaren have been, and as we've said, they didn't even get Alonso to the start. And we got stick for calling McLaren a disgrace the other week. Did not even get Fernando Alonso to start the race, and he had no issue. Qualifying was qualifying. It wasn't like he smashed the car up or anything.
I predicted that McLaren were actually going to both finish the race. I didn't say they're going to finish in the points or anything like that, but I was like, yes, my predictions were so bad this weekend. So bad. And I was like, yeah, McLaren, they're both going to finish. And yeah, I was like, hi Alonso, you all right? Yeah.
Poor Kyle, in his betting preview, actually found odds, which I find amazing, on McLaren finishing the race. Now, there shouldn't be even odds on that, really. And then they didn't even start it. Unbelievable. Cannot even believe.
So, but he's one of the best. I think he's one of the best. He was insane when he was at Renault. He was absolutely amazing. I feel really bad for him because he just needs the right car, and I think he'd be well up there. For me, with Lewis, Seb and him, I think they're the three best drivers.
And the interesting thing is, I think people said once Fernando decided his car wasn't going to be turning around and actually starting the race, he just kept his helmet on and walked straight to Indianapolis because you think he's got another sesh with the old Indy guys. I think their cars start, don't they, Callum?
Supposedly. Well, it's still a Honda engine, but I think from what little knowledge I do have of Indy cars is that between the two engines, the Honda is actually the better one, although quite honestly, you'd be pretty hard pressed to produce a less powerful engine than a Chevrolet.
That's the way, Callum. And of course, Sauber, we kind of touched on this the other week, actually, in our news podcast, I think it was, but it's one of the podcasts last week's. Have a look between episode E156 and 158. One of those, we talk about it in terms of Sauber getting Honda engines and what that may mean going forward. I think it'll be interesting because I think Sauber are still going to have, Sauber are going to have McLaren gearboxes, which of course is no doubt a sound business decision too. But there we go. We'll see how that progresses. Anyway, you can follow us on social media. The channels are Twitter at the NRF1 and it's the same handle on Facebook, or you can visit fb.me/thenrf1. We have burst through the 3,000 likes mark on Facebook. That sounds good. I guess it's good. Who knows? We'll have lots of chances for you to interact, subscribe, support us, and sign up over the season, of course. Cracking blogs. Got one from Callan to put up just after I finished recording, actually. Some F1 stats are on their way, and the latest NRF1 Prediction League standings too, which is where, you know, this is the only reason we do all this, is to have a prediction league so that someone can win, usually Steve Rust. Everything you need, you'll find at our website, nrf1.uk. And of course, you can get in touch. We love hearing from you. Just email us, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. This is a message for you, our dear NRF1 listeners. In the last year, there is a young British startup that has shaken up the shaving industry. Over 100,000 men have joined Cornerstone and are now getting a smoother shave than ever before. It's a simple combination of great products, amazing customer support, free delivery, and fair prices that has made Cornerstone the fastest growing shaving company in the UK. It's basically shaving's equivalent to Max Verstappen. They've won numerous awards for their super sharp German engineered razor, just think Mercedes, and outstanding customer support, like a Charlie Whiting hotline, along with endless plaudits from the media, including GQ, Esquire, and the Daily Telegraph. That would be Max Verstappen again. Cornerstone know they need to earn your trust, though, so to let you try their award-winning razor for a fraction of the standard price, with this offer you can get £10 off their razor and get started for just £4. Just visit cornerstone.co.uk and enter the code NRF1 at checkout. Visit cornerstone.co.uk to find out what a smooth shave actually feels like. And if you don't like your Cornerstone razor, Cornerstone will even give you your money back, no questions asked. Now, let's get back to that NRF1 podcast, shall we? Now, as previewed earlier, it is our Of the Weekends! Our Of the Weekends. Melissa, your first time doing this. I'm sure you'll love this part of the podcast. First up is our Rodolfo Gonzalez Driver of the Weekend. I think you've kind of already said it, but who is your Driver of the Weekend?
Fernando Alonso.
Yep, she's nodding. She's not going to change. Yeah, okay. Well, Fernando Alonso. I mean, he did the least wrong.
Sure. Yeah. No, Valtteri.
Any actual rivals to Valtteri, or are we just going to give it to Valtteri?
No, not really.
I mean, Vettel had a pretty solid weekend, but he didn't win the race. Is there any other one? There's not really anyone who really stands out, to be honest.
Only person I think I'd probably give a mention to is Esteban Ocon, because he was, what, 9 seconds behind Perez in the race, and qualifying was right up in Q3 as well. Going about his business very nicely, yeah. Esteban Ocon. Team of the weekend. I have actually got Force India written here.
Yeah, Force India.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
Probably Force India. Maybe Ferrari for actually getting ahead of Mercedes in qualifying, but then again, you don't get points for that. So,
do we all think that they did kind of muck up on the strategy? Because as Seb was staying out, we were all sitting there thinking, yeah, here they are. This is what Ferrari do.
I actually thought he did the right thing. Because you sit, I think if we see Raikkonen as a bit of a guinea pig, then we could say that he pitted earlier, caught up to Bottas by or to within about 8 seconds, and he finished 8 seconds behind him or so, whereas Vettel gained around the same amount of time. But while Bottas's tyres were wearing off, Vettel's were a lot newer, so he had a little bit more pace. Whereas I think if you take that extra pace away from him, there's absolutely no chance he would have even been within 2 seconds or so at the finish.
Brilliant points, Callum. Although, deductions for not saying finny pig, because that's exactly what I think he should have been. Yeah, Kimi Raikkonen is officially Ferrari's finny pig. Pastor Maldonado, or GOAT, of the weekend. This is the person who complete... Yeah, not greatest of all time. No, this is... It's just a random animal. I don't know if we have anything against goats, poor goats, but your pastor of the weekend, the guy or girl, whoever, who completely f***ed up over the entire weekend. So who should we go? We've already mentioned a few of them. Rich?
I mean, there is a few you can choose. You can argue about Grosjean and Palmer. You can say McLaren. I mean, someone, I feel bad saying this because he had quite a good race, to be fair.
It's always a good one when you feel bad about saying it.
But Stroll, at the beginning, he was in, made a good start, a good position. He just kind of spun it all by himself.
Where did he finish? Finished 11th, yeah. Didn't he? Yeah. Oh, I think at the point.
If he didn't have that spin at the whatever first lap at corner it was, I mean, he could have been up there in the points. And if you look at, you know, Massa was 9th, he was further up than that, obviously, with his late pit stop.
I mean, he is miles off Felipe Massa, really miles. But then he's not ready. The reality is he has been paid to drive Formula One. The guy's not ready as a driver, is he? So that's kind of where we are. Any more?
Well, apart from Honda, maybe Palmer for completely totaling the car twice in the weekend.
Yeah, between him and Honda. Melissa?
Yeah, face Palmer, I think, is an obvious one. But also as well, I think that I think Danny Ric's team have got a little bit to answer for. I think that they kind of messed up his weekend for him. I think he would have been kind of competing up there. Because I look at him and Max as the only ones who I'd say are quite equal, if that makes sense. But yeah, when they took his wheel off, they said it looked like a cake tin, didn't they? They mentioned Delia Smith, which I thought was quite sweet. So, but yeah, I'd say them. I think they kind of failed him a little bit. I think he could have kind of, I'm not saying they would have really competed, but it would have been nice to have had him in the mix, so.
Well, it's actually missed that debate, because I did want to touch on the dynamic between Verstappen and Ricciardo, but I'm sure we'll get onto that in another podcast.
I try and not say it, because you're right.
No, you have to say it.
Danny Ric.
Danny Ric is fine as a shortened version, as a nickname, but it is officially Daniel Ricciardo. That's how you pronounce it, because it's an Italian name. Forget the fact he's Australian and he didn't say it properly because none of his classmates could say it. Well, Mark Webber called him Daniel Ricciardo. Christian Horner gets it right, though. Anyway.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's funny how we see, you know, the team with brake issues and it isn't Haas.
Yeah, yes.
Even changed their brakes, didn't they, over the weekend on Friday.
I don't think they were going quick enough to really have any brake issues, were they?
13th.
Oh, that's a time. Blah, blah. I just wanted to mention Eddie Jordan because, and it's through nothing particularly bad, but he just said in his proclamations about how the season needs to be this, that and the other before the race, Ferrari is F1. I hate that statement. Is Ferrari F1?
I think Formula One can survive without them, because ultimately it's about a competition, it's not a brand. And if you negate Ferrari, yeah, all right, there's a bit of a hole between Mercedes and Red Bull, but it's still the fact that it's the best minds in not the closest sport in the world, but the most technical sport in the world.
And the fact, I don't know if he was getting overexcited because it wasn't Mercedes set looking in charge, but if we had Ferrari domination for the next 10 years. The other one I wanted to mention was Reddit. Now, there was a nice Formula One community on Reddit, so I thought, oh, we need to, you know, show what we've got on Reddit. And we just got a load of stick in return. shocking. What was it? Clickbait headlines and all this sort of things, which was a bit annoying because I would just say, as explained, nothing in the headline wasn't mentioned in the podcast with an actual argument. And we're all passionate F1 fans with an opinion. Are you guys listening to us right now? You listen to us because we have a passionate Formula One opinion. We know a little bit about what we're talking about and we like sharing it with you and we like hearing what you think too. And I thought that was a bit harsh. But then, you know, the Reddit guys came and went and they'll probably warm to us in the end. Rich, do you think?
They better do, otherwise, you know, consequences.
What are they? What consequences?
I don't know. I'm just trying to sound threatening and so to make him like us. But
I think it worked for a minute. Definitely think it worked for a minute. Finally, highlight of the weekend. There were some great facial expressions. I think we saw Toto Wolff with his eyebrow at one point. We saw the facial expression on Toto and Niki Lauda's face when Seb took pole and Kimi took second in qualifying. It was priceless. Anything else, though? Anything actually on the track?
Bottas, when he's finished the race and he lifted the visor, his eyes. They were, I'm going to call them Damon Hill eyes, because you could see the focus and the drive that was there.
Yeah.
And it was just, they were just so big, and that's just straight out of the helmet. It was just like, wow, you could see how much he was trying to get that.
He really needed that. And that was just kind of like a sense of, oh, it kind of takes the pressure off. And he's such a nice guy. And I genuinely think that Lewis Hamilton, I mean, my God, I don't think he really, he's such a, if he's pissed off, he'll show his pissed off. And that's one thing I really like and respect about him. But I genuinely think that him and Valtteri really get on. I don't know how long that'll last.
But not much longer if he keeps winning, Valtteri.
I don't mean to be awful. I don't think he's quite there yet. And I don't know. I think the championship will be out of Lewis still and Seb. I think Valtteri will still win some, but I don't know. I'm not sure.
It's interesting because having done the Prediction League in recent weeks and seeing people predict Valtteri wins, I found myself going, well, then that won't happen. So obviously in my head I've felt he's not at that level yet, but there we go. Great to see him win. Another highlight, Callum?
Probably Hamilton being nowhere.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, we're getting a little insight here.
Even though as a Hamilton fan, that was quite nice to see him off the podium, because I think in some ways that would kind of bring him down to earth.
And in qualifying, it was so unusual to see him off the qualifying of both podiums.
Yeah, it was. And I think in some ways it's quite good, because you know the season's going to be open more. He knows he's got to try. You know, we know he has to try anyway, but try
it's
harder.
China, they reckon. China last season, that was the last time that he wasn't on the podium or something.
Last time he finished the race and wasn't on the podium.
He just was so... Yeah. I don't think Lewis... I think that's just going to fire him up more. I really do. He doesn't take it too well and it doesn't go right. And I kind of like that.
We will see how that pans out. I enjoyed the start because that
and
was...
And I like the fact that Delia Smith was mentioned as well.
Delia Smith?
Yeah. So
that doesn't happen very often in Formula One. And a shout out actually to Kieran Cousins, who got a question asked out by Ben Edwards on the Channel 4 coverage. Great work, Kieran. That's better than we've managed. I did also, one of my highlights was a chat they had on Channel 4 as well, David Coulthard ringing up Jenson Button from his speech. Again, we got stick for saying that Jenson was just coming off the beach and was a bit of a gimmick driver for Monaco. Having watched Jenson talk about what he's got in prospect, that's exactly what it is, because this guy has literally just been living it up, and then he's like, oh, you want me to race? Yeah, I'll turn up and see how it goes.
You can't blame him, can you?
Which I think is actually what he said. I literally can't blame me. Of course I'm going to turn up if someone asks. Just don't expect anything more than that. So we'll see.
I hope that he gets to do the whole race and he doesn't actually not get to get in the car.
Can you imagine it?
I hope that it goes to plan for him.
These are probably going to be famous last words.
Yeah.
But I think Honda have got an engine upgrade for Spain that's supposed to reduce the vibrations, which is what's causing all the retirements, basically. So now that I've said that, you probably won't even get to start. It'll be the worst weekend of my life, and I'll just want to jump out the window.
We'll make sure we get you on the podcast after Monaco, then. Duly noted, then, Callum.
Callum headlined up there.
Yeah. Oh God, yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. We'll have our gimmick race argument live. Right. I think we're all done then, aren't we? Just want to say that we have done the survey podcast. Remember, we recorded. We won't know that, but we've mentioned it. Motorsport Network Formula One Global Fan Survey. We did it. We completed it live as a podcast. It's an epic one. It will be well worth the effort and a listen. It'll be with you very soon. Next week, the now well-rehearsed pre-race routine ahead of Spain will kick in, starting with our latest news podcast featuring your audio submissions and questions on our Twitter and Facebook pages. But for now, a goodbye from the guests, from Rich.
Goodbye.
Melissa?
Bye.
Enjoyable debut?
Yeah, it's really good. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, pleasure. We'll do it again. And Callum?
Goodbye.
And goodbye from me, I suppose I should say. Thanks to our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. You can sign up at gpro.net/NRF1. And thanks, of course, to Future Radio. This has been the NRF1 podcast. We hope you took something out of Stock Cheap, but the best bit is it all moves on so quickly after it, and we'll be here bringing it to life the only way we know how. Until then, goodbye.